broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show live tonight. Back from a small hiatus, working another job, heading from here to there and back again. You know, I think wasn't that Bilbo Baggins?
Yeah, Bilbo Baggins and Frodo did the preface.
Well, I'm not interested in who did the preface. It was, anyway, back on the live Phil Hendry Show here tonight, and every night, Monday through Friday from 10 p. to 1 a., and of course, we're on the air till 1 o'clock on the Pacific Coast and 4 o'clock Eastern Time in the a.m. of a Saturday, and this is a good night to be on the air because people are out and about. And of course, we're live on our website, philhendryshow.com. You can watch us on Phil TV in HD. 3 solid hours every night of our live video cast showing you how we do our show, the most interesting radio show to watch as well as listen to, we like to think, in the universe. And, of course, you can access all of our archives. Nonetheless, we are here, and we are very grateful to have you with us. Some very twisted things in the news tonight and some interesting things in the news tonight and everything in between. One of the things that's twisted is the fact that Westboro Baptist Church plans to picket Steve Jobs' funeral. Now, these are people, as you know, that know no real depth to their depravity. One of the most depraved aspects of these people is that everything they do in the name of Jesus Christ, God, and other respected and beloved and sacred names to people who are Christian. Nonetheless, this is what Westboro Baptist Church has been doing, not only to what they plan on doing with Mr. Jobs, but at the funerals of soldiers, which, my God, I mean, I got to tell you, that breaks all records. I never even thought in a million years anybody would have the guts to go to the funeral of a soldier and essentially call that individual a sinner, because he was fighting on behalf of the great saint in America. Nonetheless, we're going to talk with David Castorini, who is the minister there at Youth Ministries, the David Castorini Youth Ministry in Tucson, Arizona. Tonight, our affiliate spotlight is on the good people at KRYK in Chinook, Montana, yes, and WEUS in Orlando, Florida. And I think we've been on that station in Orlando longer than we've been on any radio station in Orlando ever in the history of
Orlando.
In the history of Orlando, yeah.
I think they like us. No, I haven't said that. They'll probably pull us off the air.
Well, you know, that's what I. Let's not count our chickens before they have feathers.
Still.
No, we're very grateful, and we thank all of you folks in Orlando and elsewhere who can find us. I mean, who listen to us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, we do a local show here in Los Angeles. And if you are in the L.A. area, or if you're watching us on Phil TV, which you can also watch the show, you'll notice that I have a very difficult time on that show. I go between two phone numbers. I always forget the local phone number, and I give our national number, and then I remember to give our national number. Anyway, there's a drinking game whereby when I give the wrong phone number, you're supposed to take a shot of Don Julio tequila.
Oh, so it is Don Julio.
Get close to the mic, will you?
So it is Don Julio.
Yes, you have to do this with Don Julio. So if you want to play the Phil Hendry drinking game, it's on Saturday nights. If I give the national number by mistake instead of the local number, you have to take that $60 bottle of Don Julio and start taking hits off of that. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. David Castorini with us, the pastor of Castorini Youth Ministries in Tucson, Arizona. And David, good to have you with us tonight. Thank you for being with us.
Billy, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Let's take a look at this story. I know that you have a couple of thoughts on this. First of all, I want to ask you, have you had any interaction with people in Westboro Baptist?
Well, no, Phil. I would never have occasion to interact with those individuals. For starters, they're not in the same part of the country as us. We are in the Southwest, and the other is that we're not part of the same overall denomination. We're Pentecostal. I believe they call themselves a Baptist church, but I don't think they're Pentecostal. I think they might be Church of Christ or one of the others. But so from that standpoint, we would never see them at any of our national conclaves. And of course, their methods are, you describe them as almost verging on blasphemy. If not...
Verging on? Don't you think they actually do blaspheme?
I'm not going to make that judgment. I wouldn't make that judgment on any church. I would not even make that judgment I was going to say on a satanic church. I suppose I should, but...
I've got satanic churches clearly blasphemy.
That is correct, but the point that I'm making is I don't like to judge other Christian churches, other religious, anyone's religious experience, but I'll give you this. The Westboro Baptist, I don't think that they have much to do with Christianity at all, and that's my feeling. But having said that, I do have some feelings on the... On what they're saying about Steve Jobs.
Well, that's why I wanted to have you on. I'm not going to say that you agree with them, but you sort of...
Let me say this. I know that Steve Jobs is respected and loved. And in his life, he was not only respected and loved, he was feted, and he and probably rightfully so, I don't know. And now in death... people have, they have been speaking in glowing terms, in respectful terms, eulogizing him, memorializing him. That might be all well and good, but let's step back from Stephen Jobs as the legendary figure of the computer and the personal computer experience. Let's talk about what he did, Phil, that I think weakened us a little bit. What he did was... He made it possible for the personal computer to be invented. If you think of what we do on the personal computer, you recognize very quickly that we went from being a social animal to a very solitary animal, interacting with people only by way of the conduit afforded us on the internet, and we do that by way of the computer.
Well, you know, not to interrupt you, but I remember reading that when the telephone was first invented, and the telephone became popular in usage in the late 19th century, the same prediction was made that we would lose our intimacy, that we would lose our contact with other people.
Well, no, I understand that, but that was when the telephone was invented. I'm talking about this some 20 years, almost 30 years past the introduction of the personal computer. So this is not a prediction I'm making, Phil. I'm telling you that this is what's happened. Okay?
And all right, but do you single that down to Stephen Jobs, or do you pinpoint that more on the people that took the personal computer, married it to the World Wide Web, and then, you know, invented things like Twitter or Facebook?
Well, I point directly to Steve Jobs because Stephen Jobs created something without realizing the damage it would do. He created something without realizing the use that a lot of people would put it to. Or if he did realize it, that becomes an even more sinister reality. Because if you look at a personal computer and what people use it for, the porn industry is making a lot of money. Disinformation, misinformation. We've already seen how people put personal computer to use for evil, to harass and to bully a young girl or young people into committing suicide. We've seen this in multitudinous ways. Steve Jobs did that.
Did Steve Jobs do that? Oh, this is what I'm trying to say.
You can't see, Phil. You can't say I really respect Steve Jobs, but I don't, and I keep him separated from the evil that he made possible.
I mean the evil that he made possible. He invented something. Can we not say that the computer is used for good? And can't this argument be made that while the automobile is something that kills people and it goes too fast and it... has eliminated the leisurely pace of life, and now we're going too fast at a lot of things that we do. It also is something that has given us great pleasure. And
now you're talking about the automobile.
Yes, the automobile, where we take our families out, we go on a Sunday drive, where we are able to see the country. There was a time when people, without the automobile, people spent their entire lives having seen only a small portion of this country that they grew up in. And you see...
I think you can apply that to a lot of things. But I'm not going. But you can't say that the automobile, there's one person. You can't say the telephone was something that when people made these predictions about the telephone, they came true. Steve Jobs, this is different. Steve Jobs created the personal computer, and as a result of that, we have people every day, and I mean all over this country, and every minute of every day, looking at pornographic websites, paying good money to look at these pornographic videos, paying good money to look at these sex sites and so on. That is Steve Jobs doing. And you cannot say he was a great man and at the same time ignore what he did, which was to bring this kind of depravity into our home.
But he didn't. You can't. I don't see how you can hang that on him as something that he purposefully did.
Whether he purposefully did it or he did not do it, the sin of omission is nonetheless the same thing. When you do something and you aren't aware of the evil that you have done, you didn't think about it, you didn't really expect it, so on and so forth, that does not excuse you. You are a grown adult. You are supposed to look and see what the consequences of your actions are going to be. Steve Jobs brought this kind of sin into the American home. He gave us the opportunity to harass children and make them kill themselves.
Well, you're really indicting him now for these things.
While he did not do it directly, he is responsible.
He created something called the personal computer, or made it very, very possible, and now all of the sins that have been committed using that device on the World Wide Web, you lay directly at his feet.
If I don't do that, Phil, if I can't say Steve Jobs did a wonderful thing by creating the computer, but no, he has nothing to do with the sins that were committed, if I can't say that he does have something to do with it, then I'm being dishonest with myself, I'm being dishonest to God, I'm being dishonest to your audience, and I'm letting Steve Jobs off the hook when he should stand there like a man and take the punishment that the devil or whoever...
Well, now you've got him in hell.
No, I'm not going to make that prediction, but he needs to stand there and before God and take that judgment.
Well, now you've got Steve Jobs in hell.
No, not... I do not.
Well, you said the punishment that the devil is going to mete out.
I don't know who will mete out the punishment.
Well, is he in heaven?
I'm not God. But Steve Jobs is going to have to stand there and answer for the porn that has seeped into every nook and cranny of our society, that is in everyone's home, that every child can see, that every husband can see, that every broken-down marriage has been caused by, all kinds of depravity that now is at one's fingertips through the use of a credit card or a download. Steve Jobs did that.
And no, he didn't. No, he did not.
You don't get it, Phil.
Because a man creates something, then every sin that has been committed as the result of the creation of that device is his?
If you can show me a man that invented something that was not responsible for the sins of the people that used it, then I will agree with you. But you can't show me one.
I just mentioned... Well, all right, so the telephone...
The telephone was not invented by one person.
What about Alexander Graham Bell?
No, Alexander Graham Bell developed a way of communicating by way of a wire. He did not develop the telephone.
Well, all right, let's take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. Henry Ford didn't invent the car.
No, Henry Ford invented like assembly line.
All right, we'll be right back with David Castorini on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about Steve Jobs, and is he responsible for all the bad stuff that people have done with personal computers since he helped make them possible? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have on, and we welcome tonight, David Castorini from Castorini Youth Ministries, as we talk about the life and times of Steve Jobs. And I'm very disappointed, Pastor, to hear you talk the way you do, because there are so many people obviously respected this man, and so many people used what Steve Jobs created for good. I mean, this is not a guy that, this is not a man that was out there creating bad things on his own. I recognize that what you're saying is true. A lot of people did things that, with the personal computer, that could be construed as very evil. There's no question about it. But to indict him, Steve Jobs, to me, seems very, it seems cavalier. It doesn't seem like it's very good reasoning or judgment.
Phil, I understand how, I think a lot of you, your listeners, would agree with you, and I understand how a secular person is going to approach this. I have to approach it differently, Phil. I have to approach it from the standpoint of God. The internet is wonderful. The World Wide Web is wonderful. The personal computers are wonderful, but they are nothing compared, Phil, to the glory of God. And when a man like Steve Jobs creates something without any thought as to the evil that it is going to do.
And what about the good?
You keep bringing that up, but I'm telling you, you cannot separate from a man's actions only the good and say, this is what we will judge him by, and we will not judge him by the evil. God has judged Stephen Jobs by now. And I don't know what God said. You want me to tell you what God said? I don't know.
Is it possible that a man so loved and...
Phil, a lot of people love a lot of people. I'm not going to go to the Hitler analogy because it's not...
Well, that's not even close to a good analogy.
No, it is not. You're right. But I will tell you, Phil, that even evil people have their admirers. That doesn't mean anything.
No, but I mean, come on. Look, the internet has afforded us the opportunity. I've often said the following thing. Tell me if this isn't true, then we'll get to some phone calls. Is it not true that the internet is like having the world library in your home?
It's yes. And that means you also have access to a woman. To a woman urinating for the sexual pleasure of men, and children see that, to a woman defecating.
Okay, all right, I understand.
See, now you want to cut me off. You don't want to talk about the evil, only the good.
Let me take a phone call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor Castorini.
Hi, I've got a question for you, Pastor.
Yes.
So you're comparing him to Hitler, which is a horrible
analogy. No, I'm not. I said I'm not going to use that analogy. The analogy that I wanted to use was any person who is evil most likely has admirers.
But are you saying Steve Jobs, I don't mean to interrupt you, Sarah, but are you saying he's evil?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying he's evil. I just don't think how many admirers we have tells us anything about the person.
So would you blame a gun company, for example, say Smith & Wesson, would you blame them for every gun death
No, I would not. I said to Phil earlier, one man invented what Steve Jobs invented. If you can point to the man that invented the gun, we could have a conversation. But
well, it's
we
not
can't.
Just him. There was a whole team of people that invented the internet. I mean, you can't say that he's the only...
No. Steve Jobs didn't invent the internet. No, he didn't invent the internet. We're talking about what Steve Jobs did. The personal computer is what Steve Jobs... Without him, there would be no personal computer. So that's why I have to indict him.
Okay, now, so in other words, if there was a guy who invented the gun, that guy gets a pass.
No, he stands before God. He stands before God and God's judgment.
For every gun death ever?
All of the, because that man never took into consideration someone putting that barrel deep into their mouth and blowing the back of their head out. Yes.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
How can a man come up with something like that?
Oh, So in other words, what you and Sarah want to do is give a man all the glory, but he's not responsible for all the evil. No, no. Not me. Not Dave Castorini. I don't go there.
He can't be responsible for something that someone else did. I mean, it's their choice what they do with that weapon or that computer.
Right. We got to take a break. Sarah, thank you for your call. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil. Not me. Henry. No, no. No, David Castorini isn't going to walk down that garden path.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, you can see that we're doing a little interactive tonight. We've got the scrolling video of Steve Jobs speaking, the many things that he helped develop, the storyline as it has been told on YouTube and other places is there on our website as well as we do our show tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is David Castorini of Castorini Youth Ministries, talking, quite frankly, David, and we were joking during the break, but you've gone so far as to speculate as to whether Stephen Jobs, where he is in the afterlife.
No, I don't think I have, Phil.
Well, did you not say he'd stand?
I said that he would stand before God and God's judgment because I'm not like Westboro Baptist, which, in my opinion, is a blaspheming, that is a terrible, terrible and blaspheming use of the Lord Jesus Christ, his great work, and his suffering and dying for us. I'm simply saying that a man has to take responsibility for what he does. Stephen Jobs should have seen the desire that the human race has to look at naked people having sex. Now, here is a guy who developed the personal computer, and he didn't see that someday people were going to be not using it to investigate the libraries of the world, as you have said, Phil, but to find the most demeaning copographical, which I don't know if you know what that is, but that's actually the eating of excrement for sexual pleasure. And
whoa. I mean, are you telling me that, you know, you're going way out into some very extreme examples? You're telling me all of this stuff is the fault, the knowing fault of Steve Jobs?
I'm saying, you know, God said a tree is known by its fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. And some people can take that and say, are you talking about fruit in terms of a homosexual? No, I'm talking about what you create. All right, Steve Jobs and a man on all fours lapping up, well.
You're running a long way for that one.
I don't think I am, Phil.
No, you're running a long, long way for that one. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joseph in Boise, Idaho. Joseph, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I've been a
yes, sir.
For over 28 years, and I cannot believe the stuff that I'm listening to from a person that's supposed to be a man of a God. Jobs created an instrument that he did not create, the web service that was used for all the pornography. Henry Ford created an automobile. He didn't drive all the drunk drivers and put them in behind the car and kill people.
Well, Henry Ford did not invent the automobile. Henry Ford refined the invention of the automobile. He did not invent the automobile. And that's what I'm saying to you, Joseph.
He made the Ford, and the Ford car is what he designed. And if you put somebody that's drunk behind the wheel, he's responsible, not Henry Ford. And if a guy blows somebody's head off with a gun, the guy who pulled the trigger is at fault, not the gentleman who made the gun.
Who's the man that made the gun? No one. It was developed by the Chinese Army in conjunction with a great many people who use gunpowder and a bayonet. So there's not one man. There's not one man that invented the car. But there is one man who could have seen the filth that a man was going to immerse himself in by way of Steve Jobs' computer.
Wait a minute. I want to jump in here.
No. What's that?
Maybe he was looking at all the good stuff. I mean, all the medical stuff that's going on. totally outweighs any pornography that's on there. And that's, you're talking about the web. You're not talking about a computer.
I'm talking about the instrument that is used to access some of the most extreme filth that I've ever seen.
Don't go on the internet. Wait. You won't extreme it. I mean,
are you saying to me? Well, I want to ask you something. Are you saying to me now that because Steve Jobs gets all the benefit and we praise him, and some people, sir, are praising him almost as much as you praise Jesus, which I really I'm very uncomfortable with. But are you saying Steve Jobs gets all the praise and he gets no responsibility for these tapes of women who defecate?
All right, do we have to, you know, why are you bringing up such vile examples?
Because
he made
that's
a computer,
what people,
not the web.
He made the instrument, by the way.
I mean,
so, wait
a
second.
The car's fault for rolling. He didn't create.
No, you're really missing my point.
If he's missing, how are we missing your point? This gentleman and myself and others have said, you have something, and people take it, and they turn it into something. Let's take God. You want to talk about God? God said, I've created man, and I've created the earth, and I've created the animals. But really, the free will is man's. The free will is man's, and man does what he will. And so you say war and all of the...
Phil, it's the same thing. Are you blaming... If you're not going to blame God, people say that people cause wars, okay? Do people also cause the beauty of the sunrise? No, God does. So what are you talking about?
Huh? What are you talking about?
No. Well, go ahead and laugh if you want, sir. I
don't understand what you're thinking about. This is why people think Christians are out of their minds.
Oh, God. No, sir.
Lord Jesus is full of love, not pointing your finger and calling people what you're saying.
Jesus pointed to the Pharisees.
Watch people defecate and eat it when he made the personal computer. There wasn't even no such thing. You had to go to a bookstore, to a dirty film place to get that stuff. And I just don't understand how you put the two together.
Well, sir, I'm saying to you that when Steve Jobs knew that there were people out there that cruised toilets and wanted to Phil doesn't want me to say, but they wanted to eat what?
Oh, God, you know, I don't want to hear that again. Do you understand?
All right. you see how this man is laughing? If we have war, do you blame God for war? Do you blame God for war, sir? No, you don't. Do you praise God for the polio cure, that was the vaccine? Do you praise God for that? Yes, you do. Why?
Yes, I do.
All right, but you do not praise man. By your reasoning, we should praise man, but we don't. We only praise God for the good. We blame man for the bad. I'm saying God wants us to take into consideration everything. If Steve Jobs is sitting scratching his chin and saying, I invent this computer, I will be able to look at more filth than ever before.
And Steve Jobs?
I have to assume that, yeah.
Steve Jobs invented the computer so he could look at porn.
I have to take that into consideration if I'm going to use the honesty that God has granted me. And that's what I'm saying.
But what about saving people's lives with it and bringing information to people?
He might have.
He thought about porn. That was a lack of information because the internet wasn't alive yet.
Why?
So how could you think about it?
Yes, of course it was alive. The internet's been around since the 1950s.
No.
It was only used by the military. Yes, it was, Phil. Phil, do you know that?
Well, I know the internet was around before it became the phenomenon it is. It was used primarily by government and military.
Right.
But the point here, you're saying, and there's, you know, yeah, it was a totally different thing.
Well, you two guys, you fight amongst yourselves, okay?
No, I'm not fighting with Joseph. He agrees with me. Listen, sir, I appreciate it, Joseph. 877-876, Phil is our number, 877-876-7445. So Steve Jobs is what we're talking about here with David Castorini. And we're talking what Mr. Castorini or Pastor Castorini is saying is that Steve Jobs has been praised too much, I think. And
I believe that Steve Jobs has done great things, Phil. I think that Steve Jobs has been praised by people who have almost deified him. They have almost turned him into a Christ-like figure.
In what way?
Well, I think that when we look at Steve Jobs and the death that he suffered, it's a terrible death, it's a painful death. Pancreatic cancer is a terribly painful way to die. But by the same token, we cannot separate ourselves from the reality that since Steve Jobs died in this very terrible manner, in this hellish manner, that was not God's punishment on him for inventing something.
Oh, God, that's in the days
Hold on. I want to finish what I'm saying here, Phil.
In the days following that man's death, to say that the pancreatic cancer that he had was the result of God's punishment.
I'm not finished. I'm saying that God gave Steve Jobs all of the marvelous reward of his invention. Steve Jobs, I'm sure, was a very wealthy man. But also, because he invented a device that allowed people to access video of women and dogs. And
okay, you know what? You are bringing up things on purpose that are of such extreme pornographic nature.
No, I'm bringing up the reality, Phil.
Yeah, but you're using them in the same vein as Steve Jobs. I don't think it's right to say that this somehow. It's almost like you're saying he invented that stuff.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he died.
And this idea that he died painfully is God's wrath is really wrong. Really wrong. You're the one who said that you can't judge God. You can't know God's judgment.
No, I cannot know God's judgment.
And you also said that you don't agree with the Westboro Baptist Church, that they are blasphemers.
I believe they are. Yes, I do.
All right. What's the difference between them and you saying that Steve Jobs' pancreatic cancer was God's judgment on him? And that he's going to have to answer for more in the afterlife because he invented a device that delivers this pornography.
It's not just pornography. That's why I'm bringing up dogs. You won't let me bring up the dog and donkeys. And
what do you need? I know what you mean.
All right, well, you're getting very, Phil, your anger is more of a sin than anything I'm saying.
And so you're telling me that I'm a sinner even though we're not going to, we don't know what God is saying.
And stumbling through your words.
In what way?
You just went God. You meant to say God, and you mixed him up with Steve Jobs. And so here we have Phil Henry, the host of a TV, of a whatever you do, a radio show.
Yeah, I do a radio show. You're on my radio show.
I know that.
And whatever I do?
I know that you're on a radio show, but you compared Steve Jobs to God and went Jod. That is significant to me, Phil. I don't think Steve Jobs is a bad man. I think he's simply a man that God judged, and God decided to send this man into the afterlife. Well,
don't say it. Don't say it.
Well, Phil, I fear no man. I God is my protector.
Okay, that's fine, but don't be so disrespectful.
Phil, Steve Jobs was not Jesus Christ. Steve Jobs was a guy who got lucky.
Got lucky. So now the guy's lucky, on top of the fact that he's a sinner, on top of the fact that he is being judged by God, but he got lucky.
He got lucky. He didn't get that lucky because God's got him now, and God's going to... And I guess you don't want me to bring up... Well, can I bring up the fact he's Jewish?
Okay, so, all right, so...
No, I knew you'd get upset.
No, I'm not upset. I just want to make... I want to be very clear with my listeners and you. He's Jewish... He invented something that accesses porn, not just porn, but bestiality and the eating of excrement. And he also, I forget the other thing.
And the cancer.
Oh, yeah, the pancreatic cancer was God's judgment. Put him on hold, bud, will you please?
Yeah.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Youth Minister David Castorini on Why Steve Jobs Hold the Phone. There may be some things that God needs to judge Steve Jobs for. One of them, people accessing porn on the internet and other things. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Man.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're going to be talking in the next hour with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County about talk radio and the conservatism of talk radio and the disappointment that a lot of people have had in our show for not, quote, following the format. That ought to be an interesting conversation. David Castorini with us on Steve Jobs, and we have been very happy to show you interactively on Phil TV and HD as you listen to our show some of the moments in the life and times of Steve Jobs and Apple. We're showing right now him introducing the iPad, and another clip of him introducing the iPhone. It's been very edifying. With me, though, is a man who has said that Steve Jobs should be held accountable for the porn. And you've even gone so far as to say the porn that involves the eating of excrement. And
I said, you asked me not to bring that up.
Well, I'm bringing it, I'm mentioning it now as an example.
I'm bringing up the most extreme examples of what Steve Jobs brought into our lives. He's a good man. Steve Jobs is a good man, but he brought into our lives a world that has confused us, has tempted us, and has caused a great many of us to be honest with you, a great many of us to virtually book our reservation for hell, if I can say something that silly. But that's what's happened. And Phil, you, with your website, allowing people to access some of the filth on your program, I think you're a wonderful guy. But you know what you've done. And
what I've done? What have I done?
You have a bit. I heard the bit, "All You Can Eat Negro," where a man howls with laughter. Is that you?
Yes. That's a comic bit that has nothing to do with anything important. Let me get to a phone call here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'll talk about that in a moment with you if you want, Pastor. Here is James in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello, James. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor David Castorini.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing today,
yes, sir.
Gentlemen?
Good.
I'm good, James. How are you?
Oh, fine, sir. Mr. Castorini, I'd like to make a statement, and then maybe just quote something to you and then give you a chance to respond, if that's fine.
That's certainly fine. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Well, first off, from the way I was raised and brought up, judgment is God and God Almighty's alone. It's not my place to judge anybody. That's my statement. And if I could,
is this going to take time?
Would you, Dave, excuse me, Pastor Castorini, would you let the gentleman finish?
I just was going to ask, was it going to take very long?
That's for me to keep track of, not for you, Pastor. Go ahead, James. Sorry for the interruption.
Just like to say one more thing. In the book of Matthew, it says, judge not lest you have been judged. For what measure you judge, you'll be judged by that measure and one added to you. And why boast is about your brother having a splinter in his eye and you can't see the beam. You've got a beam in your own eye. It says, first, remove the beam from thine own eye and then go to your brother and say, here, brother, let me help you get the splinter out of your eye. That's how the book of Matthew, King James Version of the Bible. And that's all I got to say.
I didn't understand that, though. I didn't understand what you just read.
That's a very famous passage.
Hold on, Phil. Hold on, please. Could you say it again, what you just read? Because that does not comport with what I know from the Bible.
It says not to pass judgment upon other people. It says judge not lest you have been judged. For what measure you use to judge, you'll be judged.
Well, okay, right there. I didn't hear that. All right, right there. I didn't hear that. You said judge not for what measure. It's slurred together. And
okay. Yeah.
Phil, excuse me, James. Phil, I'm going to ask you something. I say this with love in my heart. Would you shut up? Go ahead, James. What is it again?
Just judge not lest you have been judged. For what measure you judge, you'll be judged by that measure.
All right. I can't understand that. What measure judge?
You know something, Pastor?
I asked you to shut up.
You don't tell me to shut up on my show. The gentleman is reading. I understand him perfectly. What is the problem?
I didn't understand what he said. Is that a sin? Are you telling me now what a sin is? I'm the one that says what a sin is, not you. I'm not God, James, but...
James is basically saying something we all know from the Bible, which is, if you judge another man, make sure that the beam is cast from your own eye, meaning your own, the obstruction to your own vision, and the obstruction to your own life. The same thing about, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Isn't that what Jesus said?
Well, if I'm going to go along with that, and I do, Jesus said that. I don't know if he said that. If I'm going to go along with that, that means I'm going to stand there and watch a guy stick a knife in you, Phil, and take your money as he runs down the street, leaps into your car, hotwires it, and goes away. You know why? Because I can't judge him.
Oh, that's asinine.
But you don't know enough about religion. See?
Theo, you pretty much covered what I had to say, sir, and you did a lot better job probably than I could have. But you gentlemen,
have a good
evening. God bless, and take care.
Well, see, I'm well.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that very much, James. 877-876-PHIL.
The thing that I resent, Phil, is a lot of people, especially the Southern preachers, go, well, Bob, day in the book. I didn't understand one thing that man said. And you tell me, if I see a guy stick a knife in your gut and then run away, hotwire your car, drive down the street, steal beer, and there's a few other things, I can't do nothing because I can't judge him. Let the beam be stuck up my...
Phil.
What's
that?
It's the end of the hour.
The beam is stuck in my...
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And even if we're on tape.
Still, truth is our bitch.
Exactly, bud. Here from the El Pacifico, from our studios here at the El Pacifico in Southern California, all over the country. We're very happy to be with you. And a pleasant good evening or good morning to you. Tonight we're going to have Margaret Gray joining us, the writer for the Dicklin Syndicate. She writes A Little Bird Told Me, and we're going to talk about traveling with her son, Jason J. Delmonico, to a performing arts school this weekend in the Bay Area, and the trip that she and other mothers have made between Southern California and up there, and what they've encountered on the roads, particularly Interstate 5, what they have encountered as women driving cars and dealing with truck drivers. We're going to talk with her about that, believe it or not, in just a few minutes. David G. Hall will join us later in the program, and we will discuss a little more at length the work that I did last week, and I apologize for being away from you, but I was doing a television show called New Girl. It's on Fox, and I did a couple of stunts, and I wrecked my shoulder, and I feel like such a man. So
yeah, man. Well, you said you jumped out of a car?
No, I didn't. It's not as heavy as you think it sounds, Robert. We'll get into that. Our number here is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're also online at philhendryshow.com. That's the worldwide web headquarters of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to go over there and get a backstage pass and check out our video cast and listen to our thousands of hours of archives. And contribute, if you will, during our in our news feed, and avail yourself of our daily podcast, as well as do some voting for your favorite Ted Bell bit. We'll tell you all about that later on in the program. Joining us, though, from Santa Monica, California, we're going to talk a little bit about the trip that she'll be making this weekend with her son, Jason J. Delmonico, up to Merbrook. First of all, congratulations on that. I know it's a big step for him. In his education, Margaret, I know he is a young aspiring actor. He's a young man who's been involved in the arts. I know it's a prestigious school, so congratulations.
Well, I thank you very much, Phil. We're excited about that. From the standpoint that we really didn't know whether Jason was going to qualify for that school. It's very, as you mentioned, it's very a preeminent school. And one of the reasons why I got into the topic that we're going to discuss this evening is that Kathy Ellison's a very dear friend of mine. Her son went to Merbrook. He's now going to San Francisco State. And she's made this drive many times. Now, I don't know how often single mothers or single women are traveling great distances, and I know that this really it's not just confined to me.
Right, because what we're talking about here are women in cars by themselves.
Well, you don't have to necessarily be by yourself. I'll be traveling with my son. You could very well be with a husband. But when you are sitting in the front seat of a car, and particularly if it is the summertime, or if you are traveling on a very warm day, or you are traveling for whatever reason, you're traveling in a skirt or a short kind of a skirt or dress, what these truck drivers do, some of them, and I'm not saying all of them, but a significant number of them, will drive next to a car with a single woman in it, and they will slow up and peer down through the windshield or through whatever glass is, visibility they have from the perspective of this truck cab.
So you're talking about the truckers that are in these tractor trailers, correct?
Well, I don't know the terminology, but...
But when you say these elevated cabs...
Yes, exactly.
All right, and they're pulling up next to, on the freeways or on the interstates, next to cars being driven by women.
Well, they're either being driven by the woman or there is a woman sitting in the passenger seat in the front seat. It affords the truck driver better visibility if he's looking through the windshield, looking down and through the windshield. This is, I think it's childish. I think that it's potentially very dangerous. I think it is very intimidating. I know for myself, and I'll be traveling with my son this week. It gives me a pause, and it does cause me a little bit of concern, because it has been warm in California. I am going to be traveling in a skirt and a blouse that I bought for the trip. It's not a mini skirt, but it's a short skirt. And when you're driving, Phil, a lot of women are going to have that skirt riding above their knees in order that you have an unobstructed access to the gas pedal.
All right, and all of that is understood, but I think what you're telling me is, so you're driving and you have truck drivers that are looking down into the front seat of the car, hoping to see what?
Well, that's just it. They're hoping to see a woman who has a skirt on that is perhaps pulled up a little too high. Truck drivers refer to this as a seat cover. That's what they call women that are driving their cars or sitting shotgun. And their skirts have been, because they're looking for a level of comfort, because they want a level of ease in driving the automobile, because it is a warm day, because the interior of the car is warm, for whatever reason, a woman will have her dress or her skirt riding above her knees. And the truckers, Phil, are driving next to the cars, and they're looking down to see if they can catch a view of a woman whose skirt is riding too high. I want women to be aware of this. And
well, okay, but not to interrupt you, Margaret. We're talking to Margaret Gray here. Our number is 877-876-7445. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but do you not think that this is something that women already know?
Well, it wasn't anything that I knew. And I can tell you, no, I don't think it is. I think the women that are aware of this, they might be women that have been out on the road as saleswomen. They may be women that think it's funny. I think there's some women that... they may get some kind of enjoyment out of showing off for these truck drivers. It, for me, Phil, it's a little frightening.
Why does it frighten you?
Well,
I mean, I understand how you would be concerned. You're driving with your son.
Well, that's just it. I've got my son sitting next to me, and I fear for him. I don't know if you have a truck driver out there who looks down into a woman's car. He sees a woman and a boy traveling alone. And he gets whatever feeling he gets when he sees you. You've got your skirt up above your knees. And
well, let me ask you something.
You have your skirt above your knees, and he's looking down, and he's getting very interested. I don't know how interested.
Well, let me ask you something. You're not sitting in the car with your son with your skirt riding above your knees, are you?
No, of course, you're not, but it's not the same thing. You're not sitting there with your son, but by the same token, he's my son. He's not he's not some man. He's my son, and it's not the same thing. If I'm warm and I'm driving a car, and the interior of the car is warm, and maybe the air conditioner is not something. I don't like to use the air conditioner, Phil, because obviously it cuts down on the miles per gallon.
Okay.
So I am sitting in the car, and I am warm, so I'm going to pull my skirt up.
Well, how far above your knees are you pulling your skirt? And keep in mind, we're talking about your son is where? Is he sitting next to you?
This is not about my son, Phil. It's about these truck drivers that intimidate and frighten some women by leering through the windshield.
No, I understand that, and I want to get, and that is the point of this hour, Margaret. I understand that, but or at least of your comments. But I just want to be clear: if you're driving and you're driving a long distance, you're not using the air, so it's warm in the car, and I understand that. Well, you're pulling your skirt above your knees because you want to get some because it's hot.
Yes.
All right. Your son is sitting next to you, and I'm simply asking you, how far above your knees are you going to pull your skirt anyway? Even if there is a truck driver who's driving next to you and is looking down through the windshield.
Well, Bill, he is my son. He's not a man that I am fearful might attack me or otherwise have that kind of a prurient, leering interest. He's my son, and he is going to a performing arts high school. So I don't quite understand the nature of your question.
Can I ask you, if you've got your son sitting next to you, how far above your knees are you pulling your skirt?
I am pulling. I think that your question's a little inappropriate.
Why is that? I mean, I just want to know.
Well, think about it. Why would you ask a question like that?
The reason why I'm asking the question is because you're not going to pull. I would not think you would pull your skirt that high above your knees if you've already got your son in the car.
We're not talking about that.
All right, I'm sorry. If I'm misunderstanding, I apologize. Okay,
We're talking about a truck driver that has been out on the road, that has been traveling for days, perhaps, that has been away from the company of his wife or his girlfriend or whomever, and has now spotted what he calls a seat cover. He pulls up next to your car, and there is some anticipation on his part, and he's looking down through the windshield, and you have your skirt above your knees. You're trying to get some air because it is very, very warm.
And the skirt is where?
Well, if I'm trying to get air, many times you can ask any woman, you could have your skirt as high, it could be up to the edge of your thigh. In other words, at the right at the beginning of your legs and where your trunk and your legs meet.
And all right, so in other words, you're exposing your undergarment.
Yes, you would be exposing an undergarment. In my case, I don't, because of the heat. And again, I need to tell you something, Phil, because I think you're really going in the wrong direction here. I love my son very, very much. He is my son. He's not my lover. And so you need to understand, when I say that I don't wear underwear or I don't wear an undergarment, and I may have my skirt pulled above my thighs, my son is not who I'm worried about. It's the truck driver that comes by, glances once, glances back at the road, and then he gets that awareness of, oh, my God. You know, whatever they, you know, a seat cover. Oh, my God, look at that. And then looks back and begins to leer at me through the windshield.
All right, but you are telling me something that I think is going to have a lot of people shocked.
Well, Phil, I'm not interested in other people.
Well, you're telling me that you don't wear underwear, that you've got your skirt pulled up above your thighs, and that you are driving with your son. You don't want the truck driver to see this, but your son is looking at it.
I will tell you this right now. I'm only going to tell you this once. My son is not looking at anything. He's got his eyes on the road. And if my son were to glance over, even to talk to me, in the hopes that he's going to get some kind of a quick thrill, I can tell you this much, corporal punishment is the least of his worries. So I don't want you to worry about that.
All right, Margaret, I'm going to take a break here. We'll be right back.
I think you're misunderstanding a lot of what we're saying, and I look forward to clarifying some of this.
All right, that's fine. Our number is 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, and we're talking with Margaret Gray about the preponderance or the propensity of some men and women who drive trucks to look down through the windshield of a passing car and try to get a look at a woman who may be wearing her skirt, riding her skirt up a little too high on her thighs. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I understand. Margaret Gray joins us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, driving Interstate 5 or any interstate in this country, there's a lot of trucks. There's a lot of truck traffic, and God bless our truck drivers, you know, because they are they're the ones. They're hauling the freight. They're taking it across the country.
Well, Phil, an attitude, and I've heard this before, God bless our truck drivers.
But the point that I'm making here is I just wanted to, I'm going to let you say what you want to say, Margaret. We have some people that would like to talk to you, including some truck drivers. But I'm just saying, truckers are doing a vital job. Now, I agree that if they're scaring you, but I've got a couple of questions. You have on a skirt that you're not wearing any panties, and you've got your son sitting next to you.
Yes, and what seems to be the problem with that? Because you think my son is going to turn and try to and take a shot and see if he can get a look. I have news for you. My son keeps his eyes on the road, straight ahead, 360 miles between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And I don't care if I have my skirt pulled up over my shoulders. That's where his eyes are. As it is, it's a hot day. I'm trying to get some air. And a truck driver pulling up next to me and looking down through the windshield to see if he can get some kind of a quick look. I think it's disgusting. I really do.
And all right. I will tell you that I'm having a hard time with your description of where your son is. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Here is Blake on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Blake.
Hey, how's it going, Phil?
Fine.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm going to say it again, and then I'm going to hang up, okay? Fine.
Fine.
Now, what do you want, man? Okay, let's go over to our next caller. Here's Joe. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Is this Joe? Yeah.
Hi. If that lady is so worried about, you know, being seen by truck drivers, why doesn't she stay home, you know, or ride a bike?
Well, I'm not going to stay home. That's ridiculous. I have a right to drive a car. And I have a right to drive the car with my son and not be looked at by a trucker who could very well have something else on his mind. Do you drive a truck? Let me ask a better question. Do you have a wife? Do you have a wife?
Yeah.
All right. Is she good looking enough for another man to want to look at?
Hey, I'm not worried about that. I'm not jealous.
Oh, so you don't mind a man looking up your wife's dress? That's very weird.
Hey, look,
and I can tell you, I beg your pardon?
Looking for free.
So you don't mind a man looking at your wife like that? Well, I can tell you that's very unusual. I think most men would probably want to protect their wives.
From what? From looks?
From someone like you, for instance. I wouldn't want you anywhere near me. You don't sound like a man who understands women at all. I'd be frightened of any man that was staring up my dress at me. And I would want to do something about that at the next truck stop when I saw you parked, maybe getting gasoline.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Hey, you're the one that's riding with your skirt up around your neck.
And you're the one. Well, why are you looking?
Well, what does it mean you...
Why are you looking? Are you that hard up?
No, I'm not
looking
that
at me with you. Look, I know that I am, what do men say? I know that I'm tasty to look at. I know that. I have to live with that. Every day of my life, I have to live with that. That men look at me. All right, okay, I get it. But when I'm driving and I have my skirt up because I'm trying to get some air and...
No panties, isn't that right?
Who's this?
Phil Hendry.
Oh, yeah, no panties.
All right, so there's no underwear. Your son is sitting next to you.
My son's eyes are dead ahead, and that's where I want this man's eyes. This man, Joe, is that your name?
Yes, ma'am.
You keep your eyes on the road, Joe, and you keep them off of me, and you and I are going to get along real good. You and I are going to get along real good.
I want to ask you something, Margaret. What do you mean about you catch up to him at the truck stop?
If I saw Joe staring at my you-know-what, and then I saw his truck at a truck stop, I'd pull over. And I'll let Joe figure out the rest. I'll let you figure that out. I'll let you figure that out. I'd really like to know what you think is so funny.
I don't know. I'll let Joe figure that out. What are you going to do? If he's inside getting a cup of coffee, you going to drop a match in his gas tank?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's real smart, Margaret. That's real great. The guy's looking up your dress, and you're going to blow his truck to hell and back.
Yeah, that's something for Joe to think about.
All right, look, Joe, thanks for your call, sir. I appreciate it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I really feel that you haven't addressed the question of your son.
You know, I would like to talk to some women, please, if it's all right with you, because women are the ones that are subjected to this kind of behavior every day, driving down the road, your skirt is above your knees, and here comes Joe or whoever, and he wants to get, this is his lucky day, he's going to get himself a little eye full of gold.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Phil Henry Show here every night from the El Pacifico. Our number 877-876-PHIL. With us is Margaret Gray from the Dicklin Syndicate. She writes a weekly column, A Little Bird Told Me, and is traveling north with her son this weekend to the Mirbrook Performing Arts School in San Francisco, which, again, congratulations to Jason. It's a great honor.
We're very excited for Phil.
And I know that you've written a lot of different articles concerning a lot of different things. I didn't think that the occasion of your son being admitted to this great school would be about truck drivers staring at women. But now you say that your friend, Miss Ellison, right?
Sherry Ellison, a very dear friend of ours, where Jason goes to school. Her son is a few years ahead of Jason. Her son is a freshman at San Francisco State. And I can tell you that Sherry has had this problem. She told me one of the road trips that she took with Blake, who is her husband. And she is sitting shotgun. And these truck drivers will slow up and try to get a look. If you are sitting there and you are changing your, you know, this is very difficult. A lot of people won't understand this. Women will understand this. If you're changing your feminine napkin, if...
All right, okay, we don't need to talk about that.
Well, I'm giving you examples of what you have to get on your knees, you are looking in the back seat, you're not wearing pants. These truckers are almost a different kind of man. They behave as if they've never seen a female in their lives. So that when they see any woman at all engaged in something normal, to them, it is a pornographic film.
If a woman has no pants on, leaning over the front seat into the back seat to get something, that's a pornographic film, whether you like it or not.
That is a woman who is trying to take care of a health need, Phil. Are you trying to tell me that men don't know the difference?
Men don't know the men know the difference. I don't think from a truck a man's going to know the difference. But again, we have this question. You're going down the road with your son. Now, I know you've said that if your son turned and looked at you,
No, not look at me. If I saw Jason turn and look down between my legs and a smile came across his face, I'm telling you right now, I don't care if he's going to a performing arts school for acting, I would knock teeth out of that beautiful face of his. And I love my son, but I would make sure that he lost teeth. And that car, by the way, would turn right around and come right back home. So,
well, I'm telling you that it is a bizarre situation or scene that you're painting here of you driving, no panties, and...
When did we start taking the trucker's point of view here, Phil?
All right, well, let me just get some calls. To me, it sounds as if you're inviting trouble here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joe on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Joe.
I got pulled over coming out of San Jose just a few weeks ago. I got pulled over just by a lady kind of like her. She had a Bud Light right in between her legs, and the 12-pack was right next to her, and it was not my fault. She pulled me over. She was actually looking into a truck driver. But luckily...
I don't know. What are you talking about? You got pulled over. How do you get pulled over by a woman? I don't understand. How does that happen?
Well, I was just like you. I was looking out, getting fresh air, and guess what I see? I saw more than what I expected.
But what did you? What do you mean you got pulled over?
She signaled me over. She got me out to park after the shoulder in the freeway, coming out of San Jose, and she was wearing a miniskirt way up.
Well, I don't understand why you're leering at that. When you say she pulled you over, were you expecting her to perform sex for money? Was she a prostitute?
No. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of ladies just like you that want to drive on the freeway and
I
show
beg
more
your
than,
pardon.
What than what we
no.
need to see.
No, I beg your pardon. I'm not out there, Joe, running cold air between my legs so Joe can get an eyeful on his way to drop off the whatever you're dumping off.
Well, we're just looking out to get fresh air, and we don't want to see. We don't have to. We don't need to see. We're taking care of business.
I understand, but here's where I'm having my problem, Joe. As I listen to you talk, I can hear you almost laughing. You're going, well, we're almost... You see, you're laughing, aren't you?
And of course, look, we all.
Well, I can
know
hear you. You've got a
speed.
Joe sounds like a happy guy. Are you a happy man, Joe? You sound like a happy man to me.
Look,
well,
we all know.
Okay, here we go.
Car speed do not match. I'm driving a 55, and you can go 75 in California freeway. So you can just drive, and you forget about truckers. If they look at you, they're fine. If they don't, your speed is 20 miles. Your speed is 20 miles faster than my speed.
You are telling me, yes, but you're telling me that you lean out the window to get air, and the sound in your voice is almost like, hey, you don't want to show me what you got. And I find that very offensive.
But I can drive a truck with 20 tons of
yeah.
me.
Let me say it for you, Joe. Joe, you made a very good point. Joe is saying that the truck is going to go a certain speed. You can go around him.
Well, that is not the case because these trucks come up from behind, okay? They catch you. I'm not going to break the speed limit. And if I do, if I have to go excessive speed, then I'm jeopardizing myself and my son. I know what he's saying, but these trucks come up from behind. There's Joe leaning out the window, getting his air, as he puts it, and what he's really doing is leering down at me through my windshield with that little light lifting laugh going, and I find it to be a little bit...
And you know what? We call out
well,
we call out each other, huh? We call the
you
trucker
do.
Because everybody for the following 20 miles ahead of me knows the good and the bad-looking lady right next to us because we're communicating to each other. So
in other words, I want to be very clear. So in other words, you are telling these other animals, excuse me for saying this, but that's what you're telling every animal in a 20-mile radius. That,
and you know who else?
Of,
the California Highway Patrol hears everything, too. So he knows what's going on.
Well, I'm not worried about a highway patrolman because he's not in an elevated truck. Look,
well,
I am I'm good looking. I know that about myself. I have to put up with that.
Well, you're riding down the road. All right, Joe, that very good call, Joe, and you made some very good points.
Well, I thought it was a typical piece of male bonding where you and Joe were going, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, and the two of you thought it was very funny. I don't, because I've got wind that I need to get up there. Well.
Joe, thanks for your call, and drive carefully, man. Thank you very much, sir. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
May I ask you something?
Go ahead.
Why did you go, why did you make that noise?
Well, Margaret, I, again, you are not, you're not taking into consideration the idea that your own son is driving with you, sitting next to you in that car, and you with the no underwear. Here's Tony on the Phil Hendry Show. Tony, go ahead, please.
Hey, Margaret, I got a good question.
I've explained that.
If they come up from behind you, how can we see? Because, matter of fact, if you think about it, if you go sit in the back, in the truck, you cannot look on the passenger side. So what lane are you in, the left lane or the right lane?
I can tell you right now, if I'm in the left lane and a truck comes up behind me on the right side, he may be going faster than me.
Well, why don't you get in the right lane? Like
once he passes, well, hold on, no.
Why don't you just get in the lane like you're supposed to? No, excuse me.
I am.
Yeah, that's true. That's not a passing lane.
Well,
right,
whatever.
Right.
But the point is, the man comes up next to me.
You don't know what you're talking about, lady.
I know that these animals, these truck drivers, want to get an eyeful, and they want to get an eyeful of what I got. And I'm with my own son.
Okay.
My
like I said, driving the right lane. If you're not passing somebody, stay in the right lane. And I guarantee you, we can't see you off the right side.
Well, now, Joe, what you're talking about is a rule of the road. Which thank you for bringing it up. It's a rule of the road that 99% of all drivers don't adhere to, do they? And
what are you talking about?
You're not supposed to be in the far left lane, sitting on just sitting at 55 or 60. You got to get out of the way if there's someone behind you.
Well, I don't know what you, either one of you, I don't think you know what you're talking about.
No, he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's a truck driver.
Well, I am in, if the man, I'm just trying to tell you, you asked me a question, I'm going to answer it. If the man comes up on my right side, all he has to do is edge in front of me a little bit, and he can look back through my windshield, and he's looking at.
Well, you're lucky, because I'll get up on your bumper, and I'm usually flashy, and I get enough to, you can't even see nothing but the grill. So once you do your legal obligation, stay in the right lane unless you're passing somebody, and you won't get peeped at. Point blank, because you cannot see off the right side. No, just woman, you don't know what you're talking about.
If you go by, I'll tell you this right now. First of all, when you hit those brights, and basically anyone in front of me is looking back and seeing an X-ray skeleton of my skull. That's how bright these trucks are, Phil. Did you know that?
What are you talking about?
These brights on behind me, it is so bright, it's an X-ray of your skull.
Oh, it's not that bright, for God's sake. You know, the man at...
Well, I'm telling you it is. Now, if he comes... I don't know what he's telling me.
He's saying get over in the right lane. If he passes you on the left, he's in the far left of the cab driving. That's where the wheel is. How is he going to look through that cab and then down
exactly
at
right.
you?
I'll tell you how. Have you ever heard of mirrors? Oh... Thank you.
You can't go through no mirror. Woman, go get in a truck.
Thank you. No.
Go ride it for a week. You go drive one for a week and do what I said. I guarantee you.
Thank you.
You're making a bull crap.
Hey, are you telling me you don't have that fisheye mirror? You have the fisheye mirror that looks right down.
Oh, hockey.
No, you
can't. It only does the side of my trailer. Unless you're under my trailer, that's the only way I can see you. You know, you have blind side.
All right. Well, I will say this to you. If that's what you're telling me is true, then you're one rare man. Because most men will adjust that.
You won't get picked. You won't get big.
They will adjust. They adjust the mirror.
No, you can't adjust the mirror, lady. That mirror, that little thing is stained. There's a blind side.
Do you know what EMD? Do you know what EMD is? You've heard the term EMD?
Yeah. And you know, little sign says, you beware, like on back of the trailer, you're in my blind spot. That means if you're there,
I understand
you can
that.
See.
But
and
EMD
you
is,
what, hold on, what is EMD?
Early morning dew. That's what the truckers call it when they angle that mirror down, and it is like a microscope right up your you know what. I am really, I'm really resentful of the laughter. I really am.
Well, I've not heard these terms. I thank you very much, sir. Tony, thanks very much.
Yes, thank you.
It's a very, and thank you for reminding us that we got to get our asses out of that number one lane if there's traffic behind us. I appreciate that. 877-876-PHIL.
What is this, Phil's Traffic School now? I am here talking about myself and my son. We are traveling alone. We are alone on an interstate going through the very central part of California. Now, I don't need to remind you, Phil, that there is Thule fog, that there are remnants of a kind of culture in the central California area. These are people from Oklahoma. A great many of them gave birth to individuals that went on to become, yes, I'll say it, serial murderers. The freeway killer. The freeway strangler. The Skid Row Strangler, all of them. Where do you think Henry Lee Lucas came from? You got it, Bakersfield. Now, Phil.
Let's just, for a moment, put her on hold. I got to take a break. We'll move on. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Are you a trucker that looks down through the window at women with their, you know, women trying to get a peek? Margaret Gray is on the line with us. She'll be traveling with her son. And she is very put out by what she thinks are truckers that will be targeting her, trying to look down through the windshield up her dress. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret Gray with us as we talk about traveling between, just traveling on the interstates. You mentioned your friend Sherry encountered. Now, your friend Sherry is a woman who was also driving her son up north.
Yes, she was driving her son, Blake, up north. Oh, no, she was driving her son, Jamie, up north. Her husband is Blake. I don't know what this means, but she recorded. This was on Interstate 5. It was near Tulare. And go ahead and roll that, Frank. All right, did you hear that?
I heard what sounded like a foghorn, yeah.
Yeah, this is the harassment from these truckers. When they see a woman who has her skirt hiked up over her waist, and she is overweight, and you know, Phil, if you're carrying a lot of weight, it's very warm. So if you're a woman and you are carrying excess weight, if you could, you would travel with no pants on at all, but you can't do that. Not with these truckers. And this idea that they can just go out into the world without any concern at all. Remember, a lot of these men have daughters and wives, and yet there they are looking down through my windshield and seeing if they can really get a good long look. And let's also remember that they are putting other drivers at risk as they are playing their silly games. Play that again, Frank, will you please? Playing these silly, that foghorn that you heard.
I don't know what that foghorn is. You say that's harassment?
That was harassment of a woman who is carrying some extra pounds.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Rita on the phone. Hi, Rita. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Margaret.
Hello.
I used to own an 18-wheeler. My husband.
You're a singer?
And I,
You said you're a singer or a wheeler?
An 18-wheeler, a truck. I owned one. We do not.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. All right.
The current, the previous man was right. If he's on your left side, he cannot.
Now, did you hear? Can you hear that, Rita? Because it's very important that you hear that. My friend was driving next to a truck. I don't know the different terms, but the trucker had radioed ahead so that when she came up on another one of these individuals. Are you familiar with that noise, that sound?
Never heard it out of a truck.
Well,
but
I'm telling you.
I'm telling you. 99.99% of truck drivers are busting their hump to make a living. And even as a female, if I saw you going down the road leaning over the back seat with your naked butt in the air, I'd be staring, wondering what's wrong with that woman.
Well, that is very, very what do you mean? Why would you be looking at my bare rear end? What is that about?
What you're doing? It's crazy.
Well, I'm doing, Rita, what any woman would be doing. Excuse me for saying this. I'm looking for a tampon. All right?
Why don't you stop at a filling station? I mean, that's what most women do.
Because if you're traveling with a husband and you're married, you know how these men are, and they want to get to XYZ town by sundown, and they're like a bat out of hell, and they're not stopping for anyone or anything, and you are urinating into a bottle.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
You must have a very rude husband then, because I wouldn't put up with that.
Well, listen, I understand, but I have a very heavy flow, okay? And if I've got to get a tampon...
All right, I don't want to hear this, all right? This is, I personally have to agree with Rita. You know, there's got to be some end. You can't blame truckers for every time that you have no pants on or no underwear on. You can't say that it's their fault that they're staring.
I think they need to be educated to some of the realities, and I have to tell you, I'm very shocked by another woman calling and not taking my side. You know as well as I do, Rita, that it gets warm. Our underwear comes off. We're trying to get some air. Now comes Rita.
No, I do not take my underwear off in the vehicle. I mean, good grief.
Are you kidding? Are you serious?
Truck drivers are filling out logbooks. They got so many hours to be on the road. They got to get their load there. They got to get it delivered.
I've got no doubt they've got to get their load there.
There's a very...
I have to ask you a question, Rita. Your phone broke up. Could you say that? Because you're saying... You're talking about them having to get their log there. No kidding.
Okay. Excuse me, Rita. Say that again because your phone did break up. And I don't know what you're saying, Margaret.
Did you not hear her say they're trying to get their load there?
Yes. Rita, hang on. And I apologize. Your phone was breaking up. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. As we talk about the rules of the road, truck drivers and single women... sitting on the front seat there, driving the car with the skirt hiked up above their waist. What is the actual protocol? 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show live from the El Pacifico. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we are constantly looking for places to go to that other talk shows would go to, wish they could go to, but they don't go to. Okay, so we have Margaret Gray on the line with us from Santa Monica this evening. We're going to continue with your phone calls and discuss. We also have David Hall coming up in about 20 minutes to discuss my working last week on the TV show New Girl. But with Margaret, this is a discussion of traveling safely on the highways of the United States with truck drivers who may be looking through the windshield of your car to see what they can see if your skirt's riding too high. And if there's a safety problem there, Margaret, then I'm certainly willing to hear about it.
Well, Phil, it's more than a safety problem. It is. I think any man who knows that his wife or his daughter is traveling by themselves on the interstates of this country, and while your daughter, your own daughter, is traveling and she may be going somewhere as close as a friend. She may be going to school. She may be traveling to... I remember when Frank's daughter from his first marriage would visit us. We had a cabin at Bass Lake, and she would come up from school to visit us. This is a young woman that is on the highway. She's on the freeway by herself for 3 hours. And I would ask Frank, I would say, do you understand what these truck drivers do? They are going to want to look down to the windshield of your daughter's car to see, number one, is there something there? Number two, if there's something to look at, is it worth looking at for any length of time? And if it's worth looking at for any length of time, maybe he'd like to get to know it better. And I remember Frank looking at me and saying, get to know it. Are you calling my daughter an it? And I said, Frank, you know very well that I love Vicky as if she were my own. I'm not talking about Vicky. I said it. And Frank didn't know what I was talking about. I had to stand because men are not conscious of this. I had to stand up, and I'm, again, Phil, forced to say something that I wouldn't normally say. I had to lift my skirt up and point to it. I said it, meaning this. Are you aware that there are truck drivers out there that may want to get to know it better? And you remember that, Frank?
I remember.
That's what I'm saying. So,
well, are you afraid they're going to pull you over? And
well, you heard that one cackling man. You seemed to think he was okay. He didn't sound right to me.
Who was that?
That Joe who was going, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Everything was a riot to him. He said some woman with a case of Bush pulled her over, or pulled him over.
Okay, now, he didn't say, well...
No, he said she had a case of beer, and I think he said Bush Bavarian.
I don't think they make Bush Bavarian anymore.
Oh, Phil, grow up. I'm talking... He said she had a case of beer, and...
Well, he might have said Budweiser.
No, he didn't. He said Bush Bavarian beer. Now...
They don't even make Bush Bavarian beer anymore. They don't make it.
How do you know?
Because I can tell you, I've looked for it. I've looked for Bush Bavarian beer, and it is not made. Bush makes Bush. They make Bush Light. You know...
Well, then he was being crude. Then he was being crude. Now I get it. Now I know where he was going. See, again, Phil, you are like Frank, and I think you're like a lot of men. Men don't want to know the filth that is going on out there.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go back to Rita, who was hanging on. Rita, go ahead. If you had any final thoughts, we didn't want to cut you off. You've heard Margaret's comments.
Well, Rita, you know what I'm saying. I know that you don't want to agree because you rely on a man to keep your truck on the road.
Ma'am, that man is dead. I'm no longer on the truck. I don't rely on any man.
What man died? Well, there you go.
My husband.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Did he die from shock? Because I wouldn't be, you know...
Why don't you... I'm very sorry to hear that, Rita, that you're...
Well, yes, I am too. I apologize. Yes, I apologize. But what did he die from, dear? What?
He got hit in the oil field.
He got bit in an oil field.
Hurt in the oil field.
He got parked in an oil field.
His heart attack in an oil field.
No.
All right.
Injured.
Oh, an engine? She said an engine.
He was injured in an oil field.
I'm sorry. All right. Well, there you go.
Just my now, point my is... My point is, truck drivers are trying to make a living. We deal with DOT. We deal with logbooks. We deal with the hours we get to ride. We have a slower speed than the cars. There's no point in any of this going on. We
so
are
I can
trying to make
did you
a
hear,
living. That
I understand
point.
That. You're a female. I don't think as a woman you're going to be looking out for that. But I can tell you that Frank's daughter, Vicky, I said to Frank, I said, you've got truckers out there, men, who are desperate to get some kind of a look before the sun goes down and they finally make it to where they're going. And Frank said, you know, what are you talking about? And I said, they're taking a look at it. And he said, did you call my daughter an it? I said, no. And that's when I had to point to it.
I don't know.
Are you all right? Well, I mean, you don't know what I'm saying. That is my signal to say, wake up. We've got a lot of waking up to do.
All right. Rita, thank you very much for hanging on. And I'm sorry to hear about your husband, and I hope that your life is moving along very well. Thank you. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Well, that was very, I think that's a little, isn't that a little patronizing?
No, that's called polite. That's what we do when someone says that they've lost a loved one. You say to that person, I'm very sorry.
I don't need that kind of lesson from you. I was asking because I'm not familiar with the way you people do these things in talk radio. I thought it was something that you would hear and try to make a joke out of. I don't know.
Well, Margaret, you're the one that is talking about, you know, Frank and his daughter Vicky, and these guys are going to want to take a look at it, and you've made 2 points now of saying that Frank, you had to point to quote it, because Frank didn't know.
Men don't think of it, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to take a phone call here now from Lynn. Hi, Lynn, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Margaret, I just have 4 words for
you. Yes.
Like, put on some underwear. That's it.
All right. Let's say I put some underwear on.
Yeah.
Let's say I did. Then that's okay?
Then you'd be happy.
Well,
they're not going to be staring at your giblies to...
Yes, they do. They stare. They don't care. They're looking to see what they can see.
But didn't that other person say that they call each other back and forth and say, oh, you know, I saw this and that and the other thing?
That's right. They do.
If they don't see anything, they're not going to be calling back and forth.
If they see underwear, they make a big deal out of that.
Well, don't hike up your skirt that high.
I have to. It's too bloody hot in the car. Here's an idea. Why don't we teach our truck drivers to have some manners, to act like gentlemen, and not hang out of a window like that Joe, who sounded to me like he just came over wet. Excuse me for saying.
He said, what?
I don't appreciate that.
Well, I'm sorry, but he
is
saying...
Your son is too. You're the sweet woman.
I beg your pardon? My son, I told you that my son is not going to look at anything or he's going to lose a lot of teeth.
That's insane.
Do you think that's funny?
What is
Do you think that's funny?
Yeah, that you'd smack your kid to knock out his teeth.
If he looked,
he probably
has to
open the window because of the smell with your skirt.
Oh, aren't you funny? Aren't you funny?
Boy,
what a bitch you are! What a crude bitch you are!
Oh, look who's talking!
You really are. You are vile to say something like that.
Skirt up next to some little kid.
Really? How do I know?
Like tuna or whatever.
How do I know? How do I know?
You know what?
How do we know you're telling the truth?
Oh, no, yeah,
and you
yeah,
really,
yeah.
I don't even think you've got a son or a husband, because I don't think, if your husband or your, yeah, no wonder. No, what, yeah, why? Because no man would want to be around a woman like you with the manners of some kind of a she thing.
A she thing?
You know what I'd like to do? You know what, if you were standing in front of me, you know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustling rube. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you don't look like you're too far removed from 3 generations of poor white trash. And oh, how the boys found you with all their tired, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars, when all you could think about, Lynn, was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
You have to wash that seat off after you finish sitting on it.
No, you know what?
I'll
bet you anything that when you get out of bed in the morning, your husband has to burn the bed.
Oh, yeah, every day there's a bed burning. You're
That's
just
right.
crazy. Look,
That's
anyway,
right, Jumbo.
I'm done with you.
All right, Jumbo. Look. Well, listen, Jumbo, it's been great talking to you.
Put on some underwear.
See you, Jumbo.
Okay, so we heard the speech from, that's the first time I've heard that in a while, the speech from Silence of the Lambs, Jumbo, and Burning Sheets, Beds, you got it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back here, 877-876-PHIL. Still ahead on the program, David G. Hall. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And that was Catherine Rosedale.
How old was she? Welcome back, folks. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I'm talking to Margaret about Catherine Rosedale is who?
Catherine Rosedale, Phil, was a very, very dear woman. She was Ashley Jones' grandmother. I think Sherry knew her. There was a lot of people that knew her. Now, you heard the story that they had to move her from her home And eventually they did have to put her with assisted living, or I should say assisted care.
But with a nurse?
Yes, with a full-time nurse. When she was in the car and they were moving and they had to move very fastly, they had to move very quickly, I mean, they had her in a long gown. And she got into the car. She was elderly. And I guess she had some kind of an itch or a scratch or something. She hiked that thing all the way above her waist. They're going down the freeway at about 50 miles an hour because they have all of this stuff, all of her stuff on the roof of the car. And here's an old lady with the windows open, and you can see for miles around as she's got the thing hiked over her waist, scratching and itching. It was absolutely disgusting. And yet, guess what? Here comes the truck driver, slows down. You talk about hard up. I mean, are our men, are our truckers that hard up to look at some old lady who has some kind of a rash?
Well, I, you know, that sounds like that would be bizarre. I mean,
are you going to slow up and look at that?
Well, for the first couple of seconds, you probably wouldn't know what the hell it is you're looking at. You know?
Oh, so you don't know what a naked woman looks like.
Well, I sure as hell don't. I've never in my life seen an elderly woman in full view of the world pulling a freaking dress up and doing what you're talking about. I would feel sorry for her. I would feel, you know, who are the people that are the family members that will keep this woman from doing what she's doing? That would be my first thought. Let's take a phone call here. We have Erica on the Phil Hendry Show. You're on with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please. Erica? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's not Erica. That is, I got a whole different caller here, man. Tammy, I'm sorry, Tammy. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm here. You know, I'm a woman truck driver. You know, okay. What
yes,
you
ma'am. Go.
If y'all see, you know, a trucker going down the road with a penis hanging out, would you look?
That never happened. That doesn't happen. Now, let's stay in reality. If I'm going down the road and I'm with my son and listen, I'm sitting in the seat of my car, darling. I'm not hanging it out a window. I'm sitting on the seat of my car. The truck driver comes by, takes out whatever they have, binoculars or a telescope or whatever they use, because he's trying to get a good...
You think we have time for that?
You know full well these guys have got something up there. Don't they have some kind of...
I'm a truck driver. Hold up. No, we don't.
Well, you're a female. I'm talking about the men. They carry those little telescopes that you can pull out of your pocket.
How is the guy going to drive?
I'm friends with many men truck drivers. No, they really do not. If you're out there showing... Yeah, they're going to look.
Right. They are going to look. And if they're going to look, they're going to try to get a good look. And that means they'll generally have those Nikon binoculars or some form of a miniature telescope.
So why would you be showing it, though? I mean, you wouldn't look?
Because I feel
a man showing a penis, you wouldn't look.
Well, let me ask you this. First of all, a man showing his penis means that he is mentally disturbed. I'm not trying to show anything. I'm trying to get some air up there. Because I'll be honest with you, you're a woman, and I'm a woman. Can I just talk honestly with you?
Yes.
I don't necessarily shave, okay? So it gets warm. And
can we not talk about that on live radio, please?
Who is speaking to me like that?
The host of the show, ma'am. That's who's speaking to you like that, and I don't want to hear that kind of conversation on live radio.
Well, she's turning... Are you there? Tammy,
yeah,
are you there?
Here.
Is the caller there? Did you turn your radio up? Did you turn your radio up? Because the host will go... They go bat crap crazy if you do that. And
all right, just talk to the lady.
So it gets very warm. And so I try to get some air blowing around up there. My son doesn't look.
With your son in the car, you said, right?
No, I've said to my
son,
don't you...
So don't go with your son in the car is what you said.
I'm saying my son does not look or he loses teeth. Now, I don't know how more clearly I can put it.
So, in other words...
So it's not good for a trucker to look, but it's okay for your son to be in the car if you're doing that.
Excuse me, I just said, no, my son may not look. If I see him turn to his left, even if he's looking at a house that's burning down and people throwing themselves through the windows, if he turns left and he gets a smile on his face, he loses... I'm telling you right now, he'll lose teeth.
So I'm thinking you're disturbed, not the truckers.
Oh, my God. I'm a woman The same as you.
So
I do the same things.
But you know what? I would not hike up nothing around my son.
Darling, I've told you a million times. I'll say it again. My son is not allowed to look.
Well, that seems like very a poor excuse. I mean, if you got your panties off and your skirt is hiked up...
Excuse me, Phil. I really am not comfortable talking with you
look.
About it. I'm talking to the lady about it, Tammy. Yes, dear?
Every
what did you say?
Looks.
Every boy looks at his mother's...
Well, if you've
trumpet?
Every boy is curious and is going to look, so it's okay for your son to be in a conversation and going, I can't look.
You're telling me that your son's interested in your you-know-what? I call that
honey, I don't
pretty weird.
Without no panties in front of my son.
But you're saying that if you did, it would be perfectly normal for your son to want to get a look.
I don't do it, so why would it be not normal to do that?
Darling, I'm saying it's very dangerous for you to think that way, because if you think like that, then you're going to say it's normal for your son to want to go ahead and take a shot.
Oh, come on!
I think you're really disturbed, not the truckers.
Well, I can tell you that as a woman, one woman to another, I'm disturbed by that, because all I'm trying to say is that if you're driving up
interstate
5...
I wouldn't run around with no panties in front of my son.
I'm not running around. I'm sitting on the seat of my car, and I've told my son, if I so much as see you look left, I will... through your head.
Okay,
right
so
through
you're
your head.
You're bringing it to your son's attention. You have no panties on.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
I have
so
to let
that
him know.
Right there is disturbing.
Would you rather that I took my panties off and not said anything about it until he turned, leered, and begin to make a move?
You know, you're the kind of people that the police need to be on.
I agree.
You should not have...
Oh, you agree.
...driving around with your son with no panties on.
I absolutely agree with the caller.
I think, Phil, that your mind is in the gutter. I think
mine?
The caller
no,
is...
Mis-
no, not you, not you. I think Phil Henry's mind is in the gutter. I think as a woman, as a fellow woman, I think you're leaving me... You're leaving me out in the desert for buzzard meat.
And that's where you should be.
Well, I...
Margaret, what you've been saying here is so outrageous. You know...
Thank you.
No, just let me say this, okay? Because you know what? I may not be a woman, but I am a father. And I can tell you what you're saying is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard in my life. And to say that you have every right to go down the road with no panties on, your son's going to lose teeth if he looks, and then truckers better not look. You know, you're one of these people who want to operate.
Would you ride down the street with your daughter in the vehicle with no underwear?
Are you asking Mr. Henry that or me?
I'm asking he would ride down the road with no underwear with his daughter in the vehicle.
No, for God's sake, no. First of all, my daughter would never, in her wildest imaginings, even do that. Secondly, I'd order her out of the car.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, you know something, Margaret? You want to get a fist and lose some teeth?
How dare you?
No, no, I meant it, every word. Listen, I gotta go. I appreciate your call. Very, very good.
You need to be on the sexual offenders list, Margaret.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tammy. The world famous Phil Henry Show, David G. Hall coming up. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. We'd love for you to join us on our website. We have live streaming video of our show every night. And just so you know, if you joined us on Saturday nights for our special video cast and broadcast on Saturday nights, and you're a backstage pass holder, all of those video casts are going to be archived all of that audio is going to be archived this week. So our Saturday night show, which came to an end last Saturday night, was the last Saturday night show that we did because, to be honest with you, six nights a week is killer. But we have saved all of those video casts, all of the Phil TV and HD for the last over a year, well over 50 shows that will be available for you, including the video, in our archives very, very shortly. We're excited about that. And just another added little special added bonus here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to get on the line here with this David G. Hall, who is our Vice President of Syndication, a man who has been involved, obviously, in the business end of our radio show for a long time. But we also want to be talking to David here about some other things. We're going to talk to him about the television show that I've just been doing. And to that end, David, let me get you on the line here. David, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good, Phil, and we are very excited about the fact that you were on set with New Girl on Fox, and we'll look forward to seeing that when that comes out.
Now, I know that there were a couple of concerns that you had, and we were going to address those concerns here this evening, but one of them has to do with, and it seems silly, so I'll let you say it, but one of them has to do with going Hollywood on you, huh?
Yeah, I think it is a normal thing. I think it's a normal thing, Phil, for anybody to think that if you have a comrade, a colleague in the radio business who has decided he's going to pursue television acting, as you have, we don't want you to get too far ahead of yourself. We don't want you to get a big head. And I think the listeners want to be assured that you are going to be here doing your radio show regardless.
Well, that's my plan, absolutely.
Well, all right, it's your plan, and I believe you. But when you talk, as you have been talking, I know you did some updates while you were doing the show, and you also took some nights off in order for you to complete this program. When you talk about the show and you posted some things on your website, we don't want you to start thinking that you're Mr. Hollywood, that's all, and that I think you appreciate that. And the listeners, I think, would be concerned. Understand that radio listeners, especially talk show listeners, are people that are fairly well divorced from these ideas of Hollywood and acting and TV. And most people that listen to talk radio are listening to talk radio to talk about politics or to talk about farming. There's a lot of our radio stations cover many of the farming areas. Especially the time of night that you're on, there's a lot of rural reporting, truckers, and again, the farming communities, ranching. When you start talking about Hollywood, you're leaving people in the dust. And so,
but all right, and I agree that I don't. In other words, I don't want to. I do not want to become, as you said, Mr. Hollywood. I don't want anybody to not think that I'm talking to them. But you asked me to come on the air.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You wanted me to talk about working on the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely I did. Absolutely I did.
But all right, so you just want me to temper it.
Yeah, I want you to give us the inside scoop. Give the audience what it's like to work on a TV show. And give everybody the day-to-day, what happens when you come on the onto the lot there, when you go into hair and makeup, I heard you say, and then you go and get something to eat, and then you start your day. We want to know about all of that. But I'm hopeful that you won't go Mr. Hollywood. And Bud Dickman and I have at least, and of course we were talking to Sal Humphries about this, and he agreed. Bud, go ahead and play that sounder that we have.
Right here.
Okay, here. Do you hear that, Phil?
That's the song, Hooray for Hollywood?
Yeah, that's Hooray for Hollywood. Now, what that song means, and the reason why we brought that on, is we don't want you to get so Mr. Hollywood that you start losing. So if you hear that music, you can tone it down, if you know what I mean.
All right, let me turn that down for a minute, will you, Bud?
Turn it off, Bud.
Okay, first of all, I don't know that I need that. In other words...
Well, if you don't need it, that's fine. You know?
Well, what I'm saying to you is this. I don't need music to remind me Sounds like you're on a cordless phone.
I am, and I apologize, Phil. It's not a very good connection.
I don't need anybody to remind me that I'm getting to Hollywood.
Well, I think you do, and here's why I say that. People that get into that kind of a business that you got into, these are people that are not going to necessarily... These are people that are not going to necessarily, Phil, know that they're getting over the top a little bit. So that's why we wanted to bring that music on to remind you, because I don't have, you know, it may be something that you're not aware of.
I can assure you that I'm aware of it.
Well, fine. If you can assure me that you're aware of it, then we won't need to use the sounder. So, you were going to talk in this segment about it?
Yeah. And you were going to ask me some questions.
All right. Well, I want to ask you, do you have a trailer? Do you have a dressing room?
I have there's a trailer. There's a dressing room.
What's in it?
Well, what's in it? I mean, there's you go in there, there's a TV set. Some of the...
Yeah, okay. See what you did there?
What did I do?
Oh, there's a TV set.
Did you ask me what was in it?
I asked you what's in it. You don't have to go into the TV set. Is there a toilet?
Yes, there's a toilet.
Is there a place to wash your hands? Is there something to sit on?
Yes.
Okay, that's all we need.
Oh, there's a TV set?
First of all, I didn't say it that way. Could you turn that off, Bud, please?
Turn it off, Bud.
I didn't say it like that.
Well, I know, but I'm just... You understand that we don't want you to...
Yeah, you don't want me to get too Hollywood. You asked me, do I have a trailer? Yeah.
Okay, I didn't ask you had a TV set in it. All right, when you get done in the trailer, now where do you go?
What do you mean when I get done in the trailer?
Well, what are you doing in there?
I'm sitting there. I guess I'm waiting for them to call me to hair and makeup. What did I do now?
Oh, you know, they're calling you to hair and makeup. Is that it? Is that what you do? Look, Phil, you're not Marilyn Monroe, okay? You understand that?
Yes, I understand.
All right, well... What do you mean they called you to hair and makeup? What do they do? I don't understand what that means.
They knock on the door and they say, Phil, could you come to hair and makeup?
Then say that, okay? Don't go, hey, they call me. And
by the way, David, that mimicking of me, you don't even sound like me.
You want to bet? Because when you say that, that's what you sound like to the audience.
You go, no, they call me.
All right, now once they call you to hair and makeup and you sit there in hair and makeup, what happens?
What do you mean, what happens? You turn the thing off?
Turn it off, buddy. He's not doing anything wrong.
I just want to make sure.
Well, what happens when they call you to hair and makeup?
You go in there, and you sit in a chair, and they ask you, how you doing and all this stuff, and they start applying the makeup.
Well, what kind of makeup do they apply?
Well, I mean, they'll touch up, do a little touch up, and sometimes what they're going to want to do is make sure... Why are you playing? What are you playing the music now for?
Doing a little touch-up. But
you know what? Get out of here, both of you guys.
Mr. Hall's gonna be upset.
Get out of here. I can't even touch-up. Okay, bang! There goes the Hollywood music and the thing with the TV. I had a good. You can get David back on, but I'm not gonna listen to him telling me, David.
Look, Phil, why are you hanging up on me?
Will you knock it off with that music?
I just want to make sure you're not getting too ahead of yourself and getting, Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah, I got all the Mr. Hollywood stuff. You asked me a question, I gave you the answers, okay? Touch up, whatever. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it. So don't you think the producers of that show would like you to promote it?
I said New Girl on Fox. That show, by the way, is doing very well. It doesn't need Phil Hendry to promote it. Thank you and good night.
Mr. Hall's going to call back and care.
I don't care. Keep him off the air. He's had his segment, okay? We did Hooray for Hollywood. And the New Girl on Fox show is a great show, and it's doing very well. It's the hottest comedy of the year, all this good stuff. And what else do you want me to tell you, man? They're nice people. Zoe Deschanel is a very, very nice person, very professional, very sweet. Everybody makes you feel like you're welcome. And everyone is a pro, and I worked with Lamorne Morris on all of my scenes. He's a great guy, a great actor, and... He'd been around a long time. These are all young people in their, late 20s, early 30s, but they're, they've put in a pretty fair number of years to get where they are. And it's a happy set. And when I say that, you work some places, people are unhappy. You work anywhere that you work, no matter what you do for a living. You want to work around people that kind of like being there? as opposed to walking into work every morning. You ever walk into work every morning, you see these people with a sour kisser? I guess that must be like working with me, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, I spoke too soon. But, I mean, you know what I mean. And I had a lot of fun, so I thank those guys very, very much.
What are you doing next?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing next, whatever I get hired to do next, okay? I'm a hired gun, man.
You're like a character actor, man, right?
A what?
You're like a character actor. You know, you just pop up whenever they hire you.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to be a character actor. That's my goal. My goal is just to be a character actor, yeah. Just to do whatever they want me to do. I don't care.
But don't you want to have, like, be in a movie and everything?
I don't want to be the headliner. I don't need to be. I think it's a little late in my career now, man, to be thinking I'm going to be headlining any movies. All I care about is working, Jack. That's all I care about. You know, doing the best I can, working, okay? Anyway, had a great time. Thank you very much. Thank you, David, for coming on here and reminding me not to go Hollywood. And I think it's an important thing, but I certainly don't need that music blasting in my ear.
Sorry.
All right, we'll take a break here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and we have our news and information hour coming up next hour as well.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. We've got Bob Bacon, who is in Florida right now. We want to get on the line with Bob. He is in the Phil Hendry Show news helicopter. Bob, how are you tonight?
Well, Phil, I'm doing, I guess I was to make a joke, I'm doing a lot better than Davy Jones, which is not a very good joke at all. Davy Jones, you know, lost his life earlier today, Phil, from a heart attack. He was 66 years of age in Martin County. Davy Jones, a beloved of so many people, a member of the Bunkies for a number of years as their lead singer, and he was sort of the heartthrob of that group, was visiting a stable where he keeps a number of horses, horses that he enjoys, he and his wife, and apparently was feeling ill. It was at that time that members of the staff decided to call paramedics. The hospital dispatched an ambulance. The ambulance arrived. Mr. Jones was taken to the Martin Memorial Hospital. It was there that he passed away, and doctors informing family members. Quite a sad day here in the By the way, I haven't heard that music. If I don't hear that music,
I'm sorry. We didn't have the music.
I was doing the very best I could. I don't recognize that. Could you start that over again, please? Because if I don't have my news music, I can't get this report out properly, all right? Now, I was working on a full head of steam, and you need to get the music up.
We need the music, bud.
Can start the music, otherwise I'm starting. This is Bob Bacon reporting from Florida, Phil, where Davy Jones, 66, the lead singer of the teen rock group The Bunkies, was passed on of a heart attack. He was visiting his horses at a stable. Okay, there it is, yeah. And would you please remember to do that?
I'm sorry, Bob. It's just that you did very well at the beginning without the music.
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes I've had a lot of rest and I got a full head of steam up, but you know as well as I do that I must have that music in order to make myself clear, in order to sound like a human being and not something, not some kind of an ape that lives in the wild. You understand that the only thing standing between me, the only thing standing between me and becoming a Cro-Magnon without any ability at language is that music right there. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
All right, then don't ever let that music stop playing. Otherwise... Oh, did it on purpose, huh?
No, hey, bud, don't fool around with it.
I just want to see if what he was saying is true.
Let me tell you something. I'll fly to Los Angeles. I'll find you, bud. I'll turn the music off in my headphones because usually I have it on an iPod at all times. I'll go Cro-Magnon on you, and they won't be able to begin to even think about where the DNA is, let alone identifying anything else. You see what I mean? So they would only know that a human was killed here on that day. I'm Bob Bakey, and reporting.
Well, I guess that told you, bud, huh?
What are you talking about? That guy's half bat craft.
But he said, man, if you ever got a hand on you, they wouldn't be able to find no DNA.
What do you mean they won't find no DNA?
Just what I'm saying to you is, the next time we have Bob Bakian on, you've got to make sure that his music's playing. All right. Now, I didn't even get near the amount of reporting there that I wanted. So I want you to reset the reset the interview, okay?
Wait a minute. He already did.
Reset the interview. Don't give me a hard time about it. I want to get Bob back on the line. I want to make sure this time that his music is playing, because according to him, unless he has that music playing, he cannot make himself understood. So do you understand me?
All I'm trying to say...
Do you understand me that Bob Bakian's got to have his eyewitness news stinger? Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, then do that. Get him on the line right now.
Get him on here, the phone number.
I know the phone number. I know how to dial a phone.
All right, world-famous Phil Hendry show here.
Yeah, Bob. Hi. Yeah, Bud Dickman.
Will you be quiet? Is he ready?
Yeah, he's standing by.
All right, it's time now to get Bob Bakian up on the line here on the world-famous Phil Hendry show. I'm sorry, Bob, that we were not able to get the full report out there. We do want to hear from Bob Bakian in Martin County, Florida. Go ahead, Bob.
And a very, very pleasant good evening to you, Phil, and to everybody across the United States. A very sad day indeed as Davy Jones, as you know, passed on, age 66. Davy Jones, the lead singer of the Monkees, a hit teen pop rock group that had a number of great hits. I'm a Believer, The Last Train to Clarksburg, or Clark Martin, I forget.
Clarksville.
That's what she said. I'm sorry, that's a little bit of a joke.
Hold on, Bob. I don't think joking on the occasion...
Phil, I understand. Get that music.
Bud.
Get the music.
Bud.
Get the music.
All right. I apologize.
Look, hold on for a minute. Why make a joke about this? Davy Jones was a popular performer, a beloved performer, members of my generation. You know, he was a teen idol, and that's okay, too. You know...
Well, I understand that, Phil, but why can't I have a couple of kicks? You know, why can't I show personality? You know, in my time, in my... Oh, so turn the music down, huh?
Yeah, you want some personality? I'll give you some.
I'm going to tell you, Dickman, I know where you live, I know what you look like, I know what that plate in your head looks like, and there isn't any place you can go, no place you can hide, no place that you can run. Boy, I swear to God.
Bud, don't screw around with him. He sounds serious.
Yeah, no guy that sounds pro-Magnon going to hurt me.
In any event, Phil, what were you asking?
I was asking for you to have a little more respect, that's all. You know, it seems to me I've been asking people that all night. Have more respect. Have some manners. I get tired of asking you guys that.
Phil, this is Bob Bakian reporting, and you never have to ask me to have manners. I can tell you that I'm a very mannered guy.
Yeah, okay, then why is it that when you started out with a report on Davy Jones...
I just felt like it was time for me, Bob Bakian, to have my own personality. Bob Bakian reporting.
What a weird ass. God.
Yeah, man. Sound like he got to have the music of everything.
I wonder if he's got to have it playing if he goes to the bathroom number two.
Oh, well, you know, Bud, maybe what I'll have you do is hide out in a stall and find out. What a weird ass.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
What do we have to do when he's on number two?
You know, of all the things... Yeah, Bob?
As a matter of fact, yes, I do. As Bob Bakian reporting, I've got to go to the bathroom.
Wait a minute. Keep the mic on it.
Get out of here. All right, Bob, thanks a lot for your report. And, again, Davy Jones, 66. Man, I can't believe the guy was 66.
Who's he? Who's Davy Jones, anyway?
Davy Jones was a member... Didn't you hear his report?
Oh, who can understand what Bakian's saying? It's all garbled up. Sound Cro-Magnon, even though he's had his music.
Yeah, I gotta say, that's true.
All right, Davy Jones was... Sounds Cro-Magnon, even... Anyway... Davy Jones was in a group called the Monkees, and to be honest with you, even though I was very young myself, I was like 14, I was too cool to like the Monkees. I think any boy, it was a girl thing, and it was a TV show, and they were like these four cute guys that were like the Beatles, and it turned out that they were also very talented musicians, and they went on and actually, you know, recorded some pretty decent music. All right, we'll be right back here with our News and Information Hour. Coming up, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm on Bob Bakian. That's not my music, but it'll do.
Phil Hendry.